It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than needing a new butt. It's better than that. You could join our chat room, DevinPan. Go to DavinComedy.com, click live broadcast. You can also watch us on Facebook on the Davin's Den page. Audio is better on Davin Comedy. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. No, I'm not.
Not yet.
Last time I was surprised he was there, so I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I won't make that mistake. And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, an outstanding display of spite involving Mickey Mouse, School of Fools, and an educator gets fired for reading I Need a New Butt, turbulent air, and the plane might be powered by jets, but a passenger is powered by cranking. Drunks in the news and how to stay on your bartender's good side. And, a heist in a store that you might not necessarily expect, and scamming scammers. So much important stuff to get to. Good. Okay, and I guess I will get right to it. Jesus Christ. It's like, this is going to be a slog. Just to everybody know, I am in no mood for this right now. So I expect Joe and Pip to deliver the goods. We'll see. We'll see if my expectations are met, because I am just not in the mood to be entertaining and pithy. But you make a commitment, you stick to it, you show up, you do what you do. This isn't a I need a sick day, I need a personal day. Oh no, personal days. Every day is a personal day. Most ridiculous thing. Are you a person? Yes, then you got a personal day. Most ridiculous. I remember when I first started in the workplace, there was no personal days. Unless a limb was falling off, you went to work. Oh, you got a bad day? Go to work. Because if you don't show up, other people's days are going to be worse. There was a certain level of responsibility. But we don't have that now, I guess. In Biden's America. This only happened in the past year and a half, I guess, under Joe Biden. Before then, everybody was showing up and being responsible, I'm sure. I think that's accurate. I'm sure that's accurate.
People, you think it's his fault?
Yeah, it's clearly. It's everything's Biden's fault. We always blame, no matter who it is, always blame President Daddy. That's what we do. It's always President Daddy's fault. You know, with COVID, there was things that Trump could have done better, and there were things that he could not have done better that were beyond his control. But for some, blame President Daddy Trump, and you know, the economy, or you have your boyfriend breaks up with you. Blame President Daddy Biden. It's always easier to blame somebody. So that's what I do. Although if you're Milli Vanilli, you could just blame it on the rain. So there's that. Sorry.
They could have blamed it on the tape delay.
On the tape delay? Oh, yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do? Poor guys. They're dead now, I think. Both dead.
Are they both dead?
Yeah, I think so. I think one committed suicide and the other one died like a little bit afterwards, a few years afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's a shame, though. I mean, you know, what a sad little thing. I mean, I don't know. I was not that I was a fan of theirs or anything, but I wasn't like, oh, Clutch the Pearls. Somebody's lip syncing. They're stupid pop singers, and they have to dance a lot when they're performing. Who the hell cares that they were lip syncing? Why did anybody care?
Well, it wasn't even their voices. That was the difference. It was.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they. It wasn't that they were lip syncing. It wasn't even them. Their voices. That's why people were pissed off.
Oh, that's never happened before.
No, no, no. The problem was they were doing karaoke. That's the problem. People.
Yeah, I know, but people liked looking at them and their big locks and they're dancing around. So whatever.
Yeah, but people were deceived. It was fraud. I was clicking through this morning on one of the morning news shows, and you know how they have, they always have, like, the singers outside? Like, this is their thing? So I don't know who it was. Some young female singer. They were all wearing denim, which was weird. It was like 1987, except nobody had, like, the band Cinderella on the back of their jacket. But the whole band is wearing, like, denim outfits. Anyway, so she's singing. Well, pretending to sing. So she's singing, and then what I can only assume is her voice. Then she holds like the microphone away, and you still like hear what I guess would be her chorus, but there's like no background singers or anybody there. And then she puts it back. I'm like, we're not even trying anymore. We know we're frauds. We know we are frauds. We're not even pretending that this is live. So
this has been going on since there was popular music. Well, all the rock bands, you're a youngster, Devin, so maybe you don't remember, but all the rock bands used to perform on variety shows. There were no leads to their guitars. Everybody pantomimed. Everybody did. Just, now it's a big fucking deal?
Well, I mean, yeah, but at least you try to make it look good.
I don't see what, especially the acts that have to dance around. I mean, only Mick Jagger has that kind of breath control, and I have no idea how he does it. But, you know, most people cannot sing on pitch and be, you know, dancing and running around the stage and everything. That shit's hard. I'm not just talking about me, the real life girl. I'm talking about for people who are in shape, too. That shit's hard.
Well, it is. It is.
During a dance routine, I don't give a shit if it's to a backing track.
Well, you know what? It is hard, but that's why people pay $80, $150, $250, $300, $1,000, $1,500 for a ticket because it is hard. That's what, if it was easy, anybody could do it. I'd have a crowd right here if people wanted to see me pantomime badly. I mean, everybody would do it. No, you're expected to see a product, so no, there's no excuse. It's hard. It's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, everybody could do it. Stop making excuses. Enough of that shit. There'll be no excuses tonight. I'm telling you right now. There will be no excuses.
Wow. Okay. This is the hard ass, Devin.
I'm not in the hard. I'm just not in the mood. Now, Joe came at me before the show. If Joe wants to, enter into the Lions' den, be my guest, Joe, because I will rip you a new one too.
No, what I'm saying is when I sent you the clips. I mean, the clips this week were very interesting because you actually got on the phone with Han, and then the agent that was holding her hostage. You got on the phone with him and totally bamboozled the guy. I'm like, this guy should negotiate this. He can't get a fucking dryer.
Okay, again, here's the difference, and we will talk about the dryers. We will talk about many things because nothing ever ends well. The difference is I was doing it. There was nobody else. Nobody else in the periphery. Nobody else that had opinions. It was me running the show myself. That's the difference, Joe. If I run shit, there's no one to blame. If the scammer bamboozled me, I would say he ate my lunch. But they don't bamboozle me. No, it's when other people have other opinions and have other interests, which is fine. It's fine. But I don't necessarily have the ability to captain the ship the way it should be captained in those situations. Or cable's beating me down. One or the other, Joe. Take your pick. You know, I got so many fucking fires. But yeah, that's why. You've seen me in action in real life. I will tell people what's going wrong. But that's because I don't have other voices with other opinions there.
Well, let me just ask you, what put the bee in your bonnet today?
Well, I'll get to that. But Joe wanted to poke the bear.
Is it that haircut?
What's wrong with my haircut?
Okay, you got a lollipop with that?
Okay.
It looks fine.
I know.
You always think it's fine. Okay, it's great.
I mean, this is a guy who hasn't had hair since 1981, and he constantly has opinions. He has opinions on clothing, who wears nothing but plumbing equipment fucking supplies. He's too cheap to turn on the warm temperature in his house, so he has to wear winter clothes in the house. Why don't you shut the fuck up? How about you do that?
God.
I mean, seriously. I mean, it's like, Pip, it's like we're working with somebody who walks the runway in Paris. You would think, with all the opinions this man has about nonsense and about which he constantly fails in. I mean, what are you looking for? What are you looking to be? Out of work homeless guy? Is that tonight's look? No.
Thank you for putting me in my place. I thank you for shaming me. I got another question. Well, the last time you got a haircut like that, was there a booster seat?
Okay. Joe, when was the last time you got a haircut?
I didn't. God, the last time I got a haircut was probably about 16 years ago.
Yeah, so your opinion is really irrelevant on this.
It's like me giving
advice on an oil change. What was the last time I changed my own oil? Oh, about 20 years ago. Then shut the hell up. It doesn't pertain to me. The hair is fine. And I don't know if you've noticed, I've had a lot of things to deal with. I haven't had time to get my hair cut. We all can't do what you do and just get your razor and go straight across and go, we're done. And we've seen what happens when you try. You look like you get in a fight with a raccoon. So really... The raccoon thought your head was a garbage pail and was trying to get inside of it. So really, you know, we don't need your opinions on these things. With his gas station ski cap.
I have a girlfriend that does her hair with a Flobee for the last 15 years.
Well,
I think he borrowed it.
Again, this is the same hair I've had for a while, which everybody but you likes. And again, your opinion means zero to me when it comes to hair, fashion. There could not be anybody whose opinion is less than yours when it comes to those things.
You're getting so upset over it.
I'm not because you think you're being funny with it, and it's not the first time. You like try to take these stupid little shots, and they're fucking dumb and irrelevant, and they contribute nothing, and they're coming from you. That's the problem. It's you.
I love the haircut, Cubby.
I don't care if you like it or hate it. I assure you. Your opinion on hair is irrelevant. There's nobody in this world, who goes, I wonder what Joe's opinion on hair is. Nobody. There are zero people that are waiting for your opinion on hair or fashion. Nobody. And we know your little line. Do they make that shirt in amends? Yes, we've heard it like most of your jokes many, many times over and over and over again. But because dementia has set in with you, you forget. And every couple of weeks we get to hear them again. But tonight's the night we were calling you on it. Cut the shit, stupid. We get it.
In hour five of Gavin explaining why he's not upset.
No, I'm not upset about your opinion. I'm upset the fact that you feel like you have to constantly give it and that you think it contributes.
But
we were moving on. Be like, okay, I have one more thing. Like there was actually like a question or something pertinent. But like you held, like it wasn't like we were needing you to fill or something. Like, oh, I've been putting this one in the holster. I mean, what is wrong with you? You're a 60-year-old man, and this is what you worry about.
Mr. Helix, I think I'm going to need popcorn for tonight's show.
Well, he ain't going to make it.
He'll just open a bag.
Yeah, he's not your bitch. What do you think? He's waiting in the other room just to make you popcorn? Get your own popcorn. You got a 5-minute break coming up. You know.
Yeah.
Crawl yourself to the kitchen.
I think I need the popcorn now.
All right, you know what? You're not a Michael Jackson gif. You'll be fine.
I could be.
You could be, but you're not. You both have the same complexion.
We do.
Although not in that gif. In that gif, it was a pre-bleach or whatever happened to Michael.
Yes, that was pre-vitiligo or whatever he did.
Pre-propecia or alopecia or whatever the hell he had.
No, that's Jada.
Sorry, I get my afflictions confused. Somebody, if only Will Smith was here to slap me silly, that would make it better.
Remember. Oh, man, we've been doing lots of slap jokes at work. It's not old yet.
Yes, because if they're pertinent in your workplace, I know they're on the cutting edge of pop culture. I will give you, people are still talking about it. I will give you that, but your workplace is certainly not. Because Chris Rock said...
How do you know we're not on the cutting edge of pop culture? What do you know about my workplace?
Well, I know you're there.
What?
I said, I know you're there, and I know you. So...
So, I have not damned the whole place.
But you said we have been, so you're participating in it, and I know your sense of exactly. So I know it's not like they're dragging you up. I know what an anchor you are, so I know what's going on.
Hey, listen, I figured that the angle, the form that he showed was particularly, you know, like kind of like, you know, some people have a very specific batting stance.
Yes.
I really enjoyed the form.
So you think kids all across America will be emulating the form like they emulate their favorite baseball player?
Look, if you have to perpetuate a slap anytime soon, you're going to follow that form because it was just really broad. It was all the way around, nice full circle.
Yeah. Whereas a man A would have kept his composure, or B at least thrown a punch. That's what a man would have done. But then we had Will Smith, whose wife rolled her eyes, and Will's like, "All right, I guess I better man up and slap him now." I mean, really? And he never would have done that to Kevin Hart, because Kevin Hart would have broken him in half, because Kevin Hart is jacked. So he.
It would have been a brawl.
Kevin Hart would have kicked his ass. So really, I mean. Whatever.
He would have jumped on his back and rode him around, at least.
No, Kevin Hart is small, but he's built. He's whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't. Will Smith is irrelevant soon enough. It is amazing how that man sabotaged his whole career. And now we get to hear Jada Pinkett says, "I was crying on my wedding day. I didn't want to get married." And like Will Smith's like, don't use me to boost your social media. I mean, really, we're just getting the dirt on these two people. So you guys are right so far. It's still in the news, but yeah, because Chris Rock said somebody's gonna have to pay me to get my thoughts on it. Oh, shut up, Chris. Stop it. Now Chris is part of the problem. Somebody has to pay me. Either say you don't want to talk about it or sit on the couch with Oprah. Somebody has to pay me. Relax, Chris. We've paid enough for your career. We've all bought your tickets, bought your comedy albums, seen your movies, and happily so. But don't tell the people who support you, "Now if you want my thoughts on this, we're going to have to pay." What are you going to set up, a Patreon? Stop it.
Patreon.
I mean, really.
Yeah. That's why everybody hates Chris.
There it was. Yes. There. No, but I mean, really, he was a most people had sympathy and empathy for him. But then, you know, if you want my thoughts, you're gonna have to pay me for it. Shut up, douche. You don't need the money. If you want to talk about it, talk about it. If you don't want to talk about it, don't talk about it. Both are perfectly acceptable. But don't say somebody's gonna have to pay you. It's so obnoxious.
I know that was obnoxious. Yeah, so. It's like, just say it, or like you said, say it or don't say it. But somebody's gonna have to pay me. What do you envision?
he wants the ABC Sunday Night Special with Oprah. That's what he wants. But he could get that. He could, and yes, Oprah pays for interviews. But just say, "I'm waiting for Oprah," which means I'm waiting to get paid. But at least it's not as obnoxious, you know.
Right. I'm waiting to get paid too, but nobody wants to hear my story.
Oh, well, give them time. They'll catch up to you. All right.
So you said that we would get to it. Put the bee in your bonnet?
It's just been this house. It's just been crazy. So Wednesday morning, last Wednesday, plumber showed up to fix the pipe. Remember I told you in the ceiling above
it was the leak.
Yes, the leak. Oh, the good news is we don't have a broken pipe. Well, that's good news. Or is it, though? Because if there was a broken pipe, then insurance would cover it. So maybe it's not good news. So then the plumber says, "Come upstairs." You know, as Joe likes to say, "Yeah, I want to show you something." Every time that happens.
Yeah, never good.
Never good.
"Come upstairs. I really love the artwork. And where'd you get the carpet?" It's never that. "Come upstairs." So we go into the hall bathroom. He goes, "Your toilet's leaning against the wall." "Well, maybe it's tired. It needs a break." No, that's not the way this is supposed to be. "Toilet is leaning against the wall." He goes, "Don't jump up and down on the toilet." I go, "Who the hell is jumping up and down on toilets?" He goes, "You'd be surprised." Okay. So the floor is rotted through. The toilet is resting on a beam, so it's not going anywhere unless you jump up and down. So hopefully you don't get a turtle that doesn't want to come out. That's the only scenario where I can imagine somebody is jumping up and down on a toilet. Get out, you turd! Get out! And you're, I mean, otherwise, I don't understand.
Yeah, you and the turd are going for a ride.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So also, water splashes out of the tub. It also looks like the tub, they call them bath fitters, wasn't fit properly into the wall. So water is getting in between the tub and the wall and actually going outside. My wife was like, my daughter was like taking a shower, and my wife is like looking out the kitchen window, and water's coming down, and it's not raining.
No. Oh. No. Oh, no.
We're just getting started. We're just getting started. So you want to see, so this is why I'm in no mood for Joe's Z-level attempts at comedy tonight. You know. So we're just getting started with this, though.
So okay. When you're showering, it rains outside.
Well, until, you know, my wife flexi-sealed the window. And by the way, both tubs have windows in them. Why? What a stupid... Who the hell...
I used to do a joke about that. I go, why? Because we would sell a window kit. I'm like, why do you need that? So you can wash your ass and wave at traffic at the same time?
When we lived in a garden apartments, we had a window in the shower. And I was never thrilled with that because we lived... Our building was L-shaped, and we lived in the crux of the L. So, like, you could be standing in the shower, and you're looking at the balcony of the people across the way, and you could have a conversation with them while you're having your shower.
Again, that's
what, fucked up.
Like, when the first window goes in that configuration, that's where you need somebody standing there going, really? I mean, you just to stop after the first one and go, what are you thinking? How is this a good idea? No, but nobody's there to tell them, really, so they keep on building windows in that L contraption. It's the dumbest thing, because people are stupid. People are stupid, and all walks of life. So, yeah. So
the whole building was built like that. Every single person that lived there had a window in their shower, and it's, like, chest height. So you can imagine a young Pip Helix a little nervous about her, you know, buddingness. And there's the neighbors looking in at the shower. Hi, Ed. How you doing?
Oh boy.
So
yeah.
So as I said, the subfloor is rotted out. We need to get this bathroom redone as soon as possible. Now this was a bone of contention originally. The girls wanted the bathroom redone. I'm like, before this, I'm like, it's fine. Well, the tile, there's some broken. I'm like, it's fine. We've been paying. It's fine. Well, you know what? It's not fine. So now it has to get redone. You know.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. We all thought it was fine. You didn't like the aesthetics of it, but it's no longer fine. So we have to get the whole bathroom done as soon as possible. You would think the inspector would have noticed that, especially because
I was just going to say.
So we looked at the home inspection thing today, as I'll get to why we did today shortly. It said the shower is pulling away from the wall. Now, my wife misunderstood. She thought they were talking about the shower head was pulling away from the wall, but that was in blue. Blue is a marginal thing, as opposed to other things that he put in red, like red flags, like this should be, because this should have been in red. But he didn't. But he didn't cover his ass. Now he should have known the lazy toilet. He should have known that the floor was caving in a little bit. There's no excuse for that. He noticed the tile and everything, but there's no excuse for not noticing the tile that can't the toilet that can't stand on its own no more. He didn't notice that.
Yeah.
But they have, you know, they have all sorts of get out of jail free cards. Now
you have a rocking horse for a toilet. There's an issue.
Yes. And again, we knew there was an issue at some point because there was a hatch in the kitchen, but I guess the inspector couldn't open the hatch. I guess there's certain rules. They can't do certain things. They can't move furniture. And they can't do certain things, which is really stupid. Well, I mean, a bird's eye view, I can do that shit. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, the home inspector I hired ransacked this place, and the home inspector, the people hired at my old place, ransacked my old place. So much so was when they were doing the home inspection here, you know, the woman that owned the house before me was afraid of her own shadow, and she was very upset, and I was kind of comforting her. I'm like, look, I know it's very intrusive. I just had it done at my place last month. I know, you know, it's just part of the process. I think that's one of the reasons she liked me, because I was very sympathetic about it, you know?
Well, they're not supposed to, but you hired an ne'er-do-well, so, and that works to your benefit. Unfortunately, I did not. So Sunday, we'll jump to Sunday. We'll jump around some days here. Sunday, I come home from playing softball. Got asked to fill in. Played some softball. Notice my wife is dressed nice. Had just taken a shower. We're talking in the kitchen. What's that? She says. And we're not outside, so it's not a bird or a plane or Superman. So it can't be good. There is a leak coming from someplace else now in the ceiling. So now the shower stall, which was in our master suite, which we had been using, is now leaking. So you have the both that we still have a tub in that room, but we hadn't been using that. So now we have that leak going on.
Oh.
So today.
Oh boy.
Today we had the plumber came shortly over and. He cut a nice hole in the ceiling, because that's what they got to do. I mean, obviously, you give him permission.
Where the pipes are.
What?
That's where the pipes are. You got to, you know, what are you going to do?
You're going to watch. That's what you're going to do. So he cut a hole in the ceiling. Yeah. You see this? I could stick my finger right through the floor. That subfloor is completely rotted out.
Oh, my God.
So.
Sibley.
Both.
This is like the Split Ends song, 6 months in a leaky boat.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. So now both bathrooms have to be completely redone because the tiles are up somewhere and it wasn't sealed properly, so it's getting out. But if you put towels around, like the shower outside, you can still use the shower. But there's mold. So there's that. And again, remember, we just had our kitchen done. We just had it all. You were here. I mean, it was a disaster, but it was a nice disaster. Underneath all the stuff, you saw, you know, the work we had done, freshly painted. So, and he said, and he goes, and my wife and the plumber are looking up and goes, oh, over there, that looks like there was a patch. So they knew of this issue. And also, now, when we looked at the house, in the shower were her skis. They weren't water skis. They were skis. She was storing her skis in the shower stall, which you just think is curious at the time. Go, oh. Oh, okay, I guess she doesn't use the shower. Clearly, she knew.
Wait, she was storing her sheets in the shower?
Skis. What don't you understand?
That's odd, and you're supposed to keep all that shit out of there when you're showing a house.
Well, I think we wound up didn't moving it, or I moved it because he couldn't move it, but I don't know what the hell happened, but whatever. You just think, oh, that's quirky. You don't know the people. You have no idea what their grooming habits are. Go, oh, that's a weird place to store the skis, especially with that big garage you have, but okay. You know, whatever. So we did run the water. I think we did run the water, but he had mentioned again, marginal caulking issues, not red flags, marginal. But she knew, it would seem that they knew there was a problem or had been a problem.
Right.
And you're supposed to disclose it if you know there's a problem. They did not disclose it. So insurance isn't going to cover it because it's not a broken pipe. The home inspector... They cover their asses left and right. It's in there. He didn't put it red. What am I going to argue about? Ink? You should have put it in red, not blue. Although, again, he should have noticed the toilet and the banister that wasn't affixed properly. That's stuff he should have noticed. So it would seem I got to get both these bathrooms redone now. I got to get them redone now. And possibly the only cause of action is against the previous owner of the house because it's fraud. So.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. Her word against yours, you know?
Yeah.
What?
Her word against yours.
No, no, no. It's not. It's more than that, though. Because when you bring in experts that go, no, there's a patch there, and this has been a long-term issue. It's not. Or, I mean, you know, and the fact that you stored your skis in there, you know, and that you have a hatch in the kitchen, you know, where there was a problem, and apparently still is a problem. So she knew. They knew. She lived here almost 30, like 20 some odd years, whatever the hell it was. She knew. She just put a Band-Aid over, and you're not allowed to do, you're not, in a lot of states, including New York, I believe, you're not allowed to do that. So I have to talk to our attorney, which is just.
Wow. Yeah, because it's not buyer beware.
No, it's not. It's one thing if you don't know, but if you're putting a patch there that you could see through the ceiling. You know, how do you not know that your floor is rotted through?
Listen, it didn't just all of a sudden start leaking when you came along.
We've been here 2 weeks. No, no, no. You don't get mold in 2 weeks. You don't rot out a floor in 2 weeks.
Do you go back to your old place and walk around and go, I should have stayed?
Yeah, I do. So
I'm sorry, this is shitty.
Uh-huh. So, tomorrow, an interior designer is coming over to look at the bathrooms. Now, here is a. I process things differently than my wife and probably my daughter. I can look at things and go, okay, this would go well with this. Like, I don't have to see the whole picture. I can conceptualize, okay, if I get this tile and put it with that, you know, cabinet and this toilet, like, I can visualize it in my head.
Right.
And there's software for that, you know, if that's your line of work. You have software for people who can't conceptualize things, and a lot of people can't. My wife is one of those people who can't conceptualize it, and I don't have the software to do it. I actually do have a relatively good eye for this type of thing, probably from watching some of these HGTV shows, probably a little bit of the artistic stuff. You know, I have an eye, of what can go with it, but I can't show her, and she needs to see the whole picture, so it's very frustrating, and I can't do math, so we all have our things, but I think my daughter thinks that way, because my daughter can't, like, my daughter's a great artist, but she can't really, like, conceptualize something and create in her head. If she sees something, she can replicate it. Like, beautifully. And same thing with music. If she hears something, she can play it, which is an outstanding quality and a trait. I can't do either of those things. But that's how they process. I'm like, just let me design this. I know how to do it. I know what we need. And then, you know, I can do it, but whatever. So we're hiring an interior designer. And, you know, our contractor's going to do it. And, you know, everything is.
I think. What frustrates you as much as things going south is, like, with the dryer and maybe with this, when you're going, look, this is what we have to do. Shut your face. And it's like,
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. But that's not this bathroom situation. This bathroom situation, her and I did everything right. It wasn't like, you know, why don't you just fucking listen to me? I'm telling you. It wasn't that at all. We hired a highly referred home inspector. You know, we did everything. You at some point you rely on other people's expertise. You can only protect yourself so much. It's frustrating, and I'm in the same position that a lot of people are. You know, you hear this all the time. We don't understand. We did everything right. We played by the rules, and here we are. I mean, you heard it before Obamacare with health care. You know, we did everything right. We worked hard. We saved. You know, my wife got cancer. Now we don't know if we can pay the rent or pay for medicine. It's you know, we're not unique to this. I understand. It's frustrating. Now, you also, and again, I haven't gotten everything yet, but you also got to remember, it has been non-stop. Like, there has been no moment to stop and enjoy the house or anything. It has just been constantly going. So, we got the interior designer comes over. The cable guy came over last week. On our third modem, I think we got a winner. He goes, yeah, these two, I had one in my house. He goes, yeah, these are crap. I'm going to give you what I call the beast. Okay. And the, and this modem works. And so later on in the week, so now the cable's working, the internet's working, still can't get the shows, still get all different answers, the DVR for that, still get all different answers for that. So now I call cable and try to get some money back. That's what I'm trying to do now. So the first person gives me $25 back, credit. Another person in the retention department says, I'm going to give you $50 back, but I'm going to escalate this to my my supervisor. I'm like, do you understand? I've had none of the services I pay for half a month. You do understand you guys have screwed up everything. So when my cable bill is like $220, $75 is not half of $220. You know, forget about all the aggravation. Forget about the hours I've been waiting for them to show up, the hours I can't get things done. You know, forget about all those hours. So, all right, my supervisor will call you back tomorrow. Okay, thank you very much, Maria. Well, she doesn't call back tomorrow. Of course she didn't. Why would she? And which is indicative of the cable experience. So then I call back a few days later when I have a moment and I have half enough energy to argue, because who would at this point? You know, it's just been such a shit show. And I get someone, she's like, well, you know, over the past month, we've given you $125 in credits. I'm like, well, why is that? It's like, well, on March 16th, we gave you a credit of $50. Oh, when I called for my move service and you immediately cut my cable? That's why you gave me, and I had to call back immediately? She goes, yeah, well, that's why we can't give you back. You do understand, you're not giving me. It's because you guys keep on screwing up. You're not giving me. This is not generosity from Altice. You guys are selling a crap product with poor execution. You're not giving me anything. So, and I can't tell you how many times I had to explain, like we did last week, what a cloud is. I mean, again, I said, you know, we have technology where you could put things in a backup drive and download it. You could do that. Everybody. Oh, again, but you know, whatever. So I got nowhere with her. So we got $125 credit the past month. I said, you know what? I might cancel you guys, and I really might cancel the TV service, because I'll tell you what, with these Fire Sticks, you don't really need it all. The only thing I would miss is the DVR. It's the only thing, because I can watch pretty much every channel without it, should I choose to. But unfortunately, they're the best game in town for the Wi-Fi, because there's like a local cable company that uses DSL, and you know, that's just not good. All right.
That's not good.
So later that day, that Wednesday, this is all Wednesday except for what happened today, I remember when I was, remember I told you guys last week I was looking for my cat in the rain? Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I went in the backyard and I looked at the pool and the pool was dripping. Huh. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let me go outside again. It was raining. Let me go outside and see what's going on with the pool. Yep, it's dripping. There is what the pool guy called a porthole. There is a hole that they patched up on their own with like plexiglass, or like a homemade fix job. I've had two pool guys. One's my wife's friend, another is a local guy, you know, in Middletown, a couple towns over. They've never seen such a thing. No, but this is what goes on. And it's like when you get experts in the field, you go, I've never seen that before. It's not good.
What you want to hear.
No, it's never like, wow, I've never seen that before. Why didn't I think of that? What an ingenious fix. It's never that. It's like, I've never seen such a thing. Wow. Huh. Okay.
It translates to, I've never seen such stupidity.
Yes, but more polite. But yes, they're being polite with going, are you fucking kidding me? That's exactly what happened. You know, it's really, but with more words. That's what it is. Like the configuration of your apartment building with the L shape and the peekaboo windows. It's like, really? I've never seen such a thing. Who would come up with this? A moron. But so this pool is leaking. So the guy from a couple towns over asked me to take pictures and everything. All right. So a new pool, probably $10,000, and it's leaking. So you know it's affecting the ground. So a new pool, $10,000. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
And you're like uphill from the neighbors. So this slow underground river is going to end up someplace.
No, it'll end up on the main street behind the house. So that's
all
fine.
Right.
So we'll just ruin traffic for a few hours. It'll be fine. So actually, I don't think it would even ruin traffic. So
can you fix the old one?
Well, we don't know. Well, I had a pool guy come here yesterday, and he looked at it. He goes, "Okay, it's not as bad as I thought from the pictures." He's like,
"Okay."
So we're talking probably the best thing to do is get a new liner and do a little fix on that, and that'll be a couple of thousand dollars. It's just like,
fuck.
It's like, are you kidding me with this already? So, yeah. So there's that. Then I get. Well, there is some. Let's see. Is there anything else? Any other? Let's see. Oh, okay. Well, I will say a little bit of good news, and then I'll tell you another thing, and we'll take a break, I guess. We got an offer on our other house, and it's not even on the market yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
You're gonna
need to fix all this shit at the new one.
Is it a good offer? Is that what you asked me?
Yes.
Like my wife came up with a number that was, you know, in the ballpark of what we had been discussed. Said yes. So waiting Monday. Hopefully paperwork will be drawn up, and we'll save on the fees for, because the seller pays the real estate agents, pays both agents. So we'll save some money on that. We're still going to pay her something because my wife's been picking her brain this whole time and everything, but it's going to save a significant amount of money on that. And these people, like, we showed, they're like, "Oh, can we come by and see the house?" Like, yeah, sure. Showed it to them, loved it. Because I'm like, you guys are the first ones standing here on this floor except for the contractor. So, I mean, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So hopefully that comes in. We'll see. But, you know, it's just a shame. It's a shame you make that say, like, all right, you know, we could put some for the college education, replenish, blah, blah, blah. No, you got to invest in stuff that doesn't even enhance the value of the house. Redoing the subfloor adds nothing to the house. Nobody ever walks in and goes, when did you redo the subfloor? Nobody asks that question. They assume you can't stick your finger through the subfloor. Everybody makes it.
Let me tell you something. And this was when my mom was alive, the sill plates, and what a sill plate is the wood from the frame of the house that actually goes on top of the concrete wall. And for years, I noticed that was rotted, and my mom noticed that. You know, she goes, "Oh God, if we ever have to sell the house, it's going to be a problem." So I redid it, you know, and because you have to lift the house, it's a big deal. And my carpenter Bob, we used to laugh at parties and stuff like that on that. We actually had to get it fixed. It was $4,000. It was my real estate agent, who was Joanne's cousin, brought the people in, and I didn't have the money, so she laid out the money. We paid her back, you know, at the end of the deal. But it's just like something that's on top of your mind that just is always there that you know is going
to
be a problem.
Right, but you did the right thing, whereas opposed to these people who knew they had a problem, they covered it up. That's the difference. And $4,000, Joe, I laugh at $4,000. I mean, I know it's a lot of money. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but everything costs a lot more now than it did 5 years ago when you sold your house. And there's just mounting and mounting problems. And we haven't sold our house, but whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So you asked me why I'm in a no fucking mood, because it is just endless bad shit that costs money that just shouldn't be. My wife feels terrible because, you know, I don't want to sound crazy. We don't deserve this. We don't screw people over. But then you go, well, it has nothing to do with deserve. It's just, you know, she was talking about karma. I'm like, it has nothing to do with karma and universe. It's just the way life works. You know, there's no rhyme or reason. But, I mean, think about it. We just bought this house, just put a bunch of money into redoing the goddamn kitchen because that was worse off than we knew. And it's like, wow, now we have to do both bathrooms. Oh, the dryer. You asked me about the dryer. How could I forget the dryer, Joe? Before I get to the other thing.
Yeah, you had nothing else going on, yeah.
Okay.
You couldn't get around the dryer, so how could you forget it?
Yeah, the dryer, which doubled as an island in the kitchen. Very well placed. To the point where my wife goes, you know what, maybe we shouldn't have kept the peninsula. Maybe we should have gotten an island. No, the peninsula is fine.
Yeah.
Oh, she also noticed a hole in the granite. I'm like, are you kidding me here? So the granite guy is going to come by and fix it when he gets a chance. Okay, so the dryer. So you know what, we decided to do last Thursday or something. We go to the appliance store that we had called and said that said they couldn't get the part. We just went in, say, it's two parts that you need. One is in Louisville, Kentucky, which I could have picked up on my own, and another one's in Pennsylvania. And there's only one of them listed. So she's like, I don't have a lot of confidence when there's one listed. But she ordered both the parts, and they should be in tomorrow. So my wife decides with this dryer, she goes, you know what? Let's get this dryer fixed that we're now $250 into. Forget about what I have to pay my contractor for helping me move it and take it apart and put it together multiple times. Yeah. He hasn't given me that. This contractor is like the best when it comes to money. It's like I have to beg him to take money. I'm like, dude, I got to give you something. What do I owe you? Stop it. It's like,
wow.
I mean, he's
a good egg.
He's a great guy, but he's doing work. The man deserves to be compensated, you know. So I don't know what I don't know what I'm going to owe him for that. So my wife says, "You know what? This dryer that we bought. Why don't we put that at the old house, and take our old dryer and put it here? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?"
Is that what you said before?
That's what I said all along, Pip. All along. Before we went put $250 deep to keep the fucking dryer we had all along. Before we
Sorry, but that is head-smackingly bad.
This is... So now, we have our old dryer here, which works perfectly well, knock on wood. And we have the other dryer, the probably older dryer, that cost me $250 for the privilege of its company at the other place, waiting for the part so we can fix it and sell it with the house. That's the stuff that drives me nuts. It's not the it's not the stuff that you can't control. It's the self-inflicted stuff. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'll give you another one. It's not that big of a deal. So the girls wanted the upstairs white. I like colors. Our bedroom at home was a light green with a dark green accent wall, which I really like. Not that we had to do green or not, doesn't matter. But I just like colors. I mean, white is fine. It's fine, but whatever. So they wanted white. Okay, I got to pick the color of my office. It's blue. They liked your color so much, it went into the bathroom downstairs. Okay, whatever. They want white. I'm not gonna fight with them. So my wife today, she found one of these. She had one of these things with the words from the I don't want to miss some of the words from I don't want to miss a thing, the Aerosmith Armageddon song, which is one of, which was the movie we watched together when we moved into our apartment on a snowy Christmas Eve in like 2000 or something like that. We watched Armageddon and everything, and of course it's Aerosmith. So she got those, like, some of the lyrics to it, and she goes to me, she goes, I'm gonna paint the wall behind us and put it there, just that one color. Again, it's fine. It's just like, oh, why couldn't we do it when we had the people here? When the people who were here when we did this, and you guys insisted on white, and I said, but I like color, and these are the things that drive me insane. It's that type of stuff. Like, her heart's in a good place. We're gonna put it up and everything. And we could have done that all along. It's just like, well, we paid the professionals to do it. Why didn't? That's the type of thing. Now, in the grand scheme of things, the dryer, the painted wall, pale in comparison to what we've had to put into this house. But it's just the self-inflicted things that drive me nuts. It's like, why do we have to make things harder for ourselves?
Well, look at it this way. You got to look at the big picture. How long do you think you're going to be in this house for?
Well, depends how quickly the match strikes.
Basically,
the what?
The match.
That's hysterical. basically, you sell your other house. You have money coming in to fix everything, and it's everything is fixed.
Yeah, John. No, you're right. But the problem is, everything. Remember, I still need a roof in the near future. I have a 30-year-old roof. So,
yeah.
And I still have to get landscaping. Yeah. I still have to pay for landscaping here because some of the stuff, Pip was here, Pip took a tour of the house last week because some of the shrubbery and trees are too close to the house and it causes moisture and I have wood siding. So there is other stuff to do. But, you know, it's like, okay, you're going to put in X amount towards your daughter's education, put some of this aside to retirement, make some home improvements. You know, you put that money aside. You don't put it aside for two brand new bathrooms in the first year of the house. At least we didn't.
Well, at least, though, that redoing the bathrooms and the kitchen are money makers. They add to the value of the home.
Well, yes and no. Yes, like, yeah. Yes
have
and
to
no.
Redo a bedroom, which adds no value.
Yes and no. Remember, if we make it aesthetically pleasing and it's still pleasing whenever we sell it, yes. If it becomes dated, no. But remember, also, subfloor adds nothing. That adds nothing. You know, that adds nothing to that. Well, we put in a new subfloor a couple years ago. Really, was there a leak in the problem? Did you redo the plumbing? Oh fuck, never mind.
Yeah, but you know what? Not having a floor between your toilet and your basement detracts from the value of your home.
It does, but what I'm saying is, like, you're talking about adding value. Yeah, I get it. You redo the kitchen, but stuff that nobody sees and isn't really functional, we put in a new HVAC unit. All right, people know what that is. But you put in subfloor. You did what now? Because most people never have to deal with that, because when most adults know there's a leak in the house, they get the shit fixed. They don't put their skis in the shower and go, well, it's not there. I don't hear it. I don't see it. It can't be. No, adults don't do that shit.
Sometimes, with a leaky toilet, sometimes you really don't notice because it goes under the subfloor. The master bath in my old house, I was in the crawl space looking around. I look under and I see that it's rotting out. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And that was redone, and that all was redone in '85 when my mom did some remodeling. So, you know, and that time I'm looking at it in 2015.
But these people did know. They put up patches, just like they did with the pool. Every type of shortcut they could do. I don't know what their financial situation is, but if you can't maintain certain things like a pool, don't have it.
Yeah, no, that was really a shitty move. I mean, if they're going to live there and they're going to just, like, you know, duct tape the shit out of everything, fine. When you're selling, you better fix it or disclose it. That's a shitty move.
Yeah. Well, which might be why we have a cause of action. All right.
Yeah. So. You do. You do, absolutely. We had, in my old house, the toilet, apparently there was a leak, and the floor tilted to the corner just ever so slightly. So the water that was leaking from the tank in the back was leaking out of a kind of like old plug thing, and it was rolling into the corner and going down into the old basement that was just like, you know, the house is over 100 years old, so it was not like a fixed up basement. But when I found out that was happening was because I went into the storage area of the basement and opened the door, and there was a fucking mushroom growing on the rock wall. Huge! I was like, it looked like undersea fungus plant of some sort. I was like, what is that? And I found out it's because the water dripping, I don't even know what it grew of. Like, what was the seed in the wall or whatever that started this? But it lasted
the wall that started
this. I mean, like, you know, like, watering your tank just doesn't turn into fungus by itself. It's like, what started that? And it was huge. It was life size, like human size. It was gigantic. By the time I went down there and looked at it, I was like, this is a horror show. This is a horror movie.
I tell you, here I had, like, my central air, knock on wood, has been okay. But it's like 15 years old. It's been fine. But I'm just like, that's if that goes, that's another big ticket item. I mean, when my heat went, that ran me about $3,000. And that And I got a break because their tech knew my tech, that knew their tech, that knew what, you know, so I got kind of a break on that. But still, yeah, when that shit happens, that's a fortune.
Yeah. Yeah. We got, when we first moved in, we knew that we were at the last end of the furnace. So we had to get, it was like central heating and cooling. So we had to replace that whole thing within a year of living here. That was a pretty penny. And then a couple years ago, we had to replace the whole roof. The lady that lived here, when the real estate people were walking through the house and everything, he was saying how, well, you know, the roof seems to be on the tail end of its life. It all depends on the grade of shingles that he bought. And she says, knowing my husband, they were probably the 30-year shingles. Nah, honey, your husband was a cheap ass. Those were not 30-year shingles. Shut up.
You don't know your husband at all, do you? You might want to check that engagement ring.
Apparently didn't. She had no idea how much he was scrimping and saving around this place.
Well, that diamond might be a diamond. It just might have the initial CZ. But, you know, trust your husband.
He made... Now, I understand it was like his little workbench kind of area, but in the basement, he made cabinets out of leftover pieces of wood here and there. And there's this one door that is just so, like... Why did you do this? There's just like odd little, it's like such a grandpa move kind of things going on. And it's like, it's in the basement. I really don't care. But, and we knew some of the investments that were going to have to come up. So we were like, all right, we're prepared for that. We knew it was coming. I would be pissed about the bathrooms.
It's gutting because it just hasn't stopped. There's been no, and it's just piling on. Now remember, I told you we're going to Arizona for a few days, so my mother-in-law is kind enough to fly up here and stay with my daughter. So, you know, my wife made sure that she's got her office / the guest room is probably the room that's in the best shape because her mother's going to be there. Okay, that's fine. She's doing us a favor. We appreciate that. I mean, ideally, it's not a great time with everything in disarray, but she's doing us a huge favor. So then my sister-in-law, who came to stay at our house like maybe one time, at the other house, and was constantly invited, but would never want to come. Now she wants to come down to keep her mother company while my daughter is in school. But now keep in mind, she just spent a couple of weeks with my mother-in-law, and my wife never gets to see her mother one-on-one. And I have no problem with my sister-in-law coming, just not now. Let me get shit. I said to my wife, I go, listen, once we get everything under control, she could stay a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. I don't care. I'm a very open door policy. I mean, my house was not open door growing up for various reasons. I'm very open door. I was like, you want to come over? Come on over. Happy to have you and everything. Just don't fucking piss me off. But I'm, you know.
Yeah, you know, your sister-in-law coming through the ceiling on the toilet. Yeah.
Right. but you're joking. But yes, the house is not ready for five people to be taking a shower right now.
Yeah, right.
That's
timber.
And also, my other sister-in-law, who always hosts everything, she's great. And I think we're going to their house for the Seder on Fridays. We often do. She wants to come up the Sunday we come back with the family to see my mother-in-law and bring everybody up. Again, any other time, love to have them. Happy to host them. My sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, they're great. It's always their house. That was one of the reasons we moved, so we could host things and everything.
Yeah.
Happy. Just not now. We've never sat at our kitchen table since we've been here because it's covered with like grout and paint and stuff like that. It's just like, please, people. We just.
It's not a hard request. Just tell your wife to tell them, look, you're more than welcome. At this juncture, the place is dangerous.
But you have to understand.
We want the place to have people.
in that sister-in-law's case, she's coming up to see my mother-in-law. I get it, and that's fine. And listen, like I said, that sister-in-law and that brother-in-law, always open house, always host everything. If we were up and running, I wouldn't give a shit. If I didn't have to worry about money, because right now I'm actually worried about money. I'm not usually worried about money because I know how we save. And, you know, when Joe likes to paint me as frugal or thrifty, I'm not. I just don't treat myself to a ton of stuff or anything. You know, we're both that way. You know, anything for our daughter to help her with music, whatever. You know, like most parents, you do that for your kids. But her and I don't have to have the latest TV and the latest gadgets, all this and stuff. But right now, it's like I don't, the money to entertain everybody is just not as fluid as hopefully it'll be in 3 months.
Yeah, right.
So listen.
Yeah,
it's a tough spot for my wife to be in because this is her family. But I mean, I told my wife, I'm just like, no, I don't want it. And I've told her, I go, any other time, I don't care. When she wants to have her family over, I never say, no, I don't want them here. No, okay, what are we serving? Let's plan a menu. Can't wait. I'd rather have people here than to drive down to Jersey, to be honest with you. I'd rather, you know, even though it's more work because you have to cook and clean and blah, 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 I'd rather do that. And nobody deserves it more than my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law. Like I said, it's like we're going to be coming back from Arizona. It's not even like a real vacation because like there's one day to ourselves, but my wife has already made plans for us to visit her friends out there, which she's starting to regret now just because of what's dealing with us and all. And we're going to be jet lagged and you got to go to, you know, corporate dinners and everything. And like, and it can get really stressful with my mother-in-law and her two girls in the house. Yeah. So it's like, wow. And normally,
well, look at it this way. When you get to the corporate thing with your wife, you're going to be tired. You're going to be jet lagged. However, you can sit there and have a drink. You don't have to go up there and entertain the whole room for an hour.
But she, Joe, that's where you're wrong. Like, I know why you would think that, but you know as well as I know. And what do you do for a living? Ah, fuck. And normally, I don't care. Normally, if people ask me about my work, I'm happy to talk about it. But when I've just driven, you know, 9 hours round trip and taken an early flight to fly out here and I'm jet lagged, I don't want to talk about it. And my wife's like, listen, you don't have to go to that dinner. I said, no, I'll make an appearance at least. I'm going to...
Well, just don't tell people you're a comic. Just tell them you're selling insurance or some shit.
They know. I can't lie to her coworkers. Most of them probably know already.
You're a consultant.
What?
Yeah. You're a consultant.
I am a consultant, but nobody listens. That's the problem.
See, nobody knows what that means, so it like stops the conversation and it's dead.
Well, like I said, I had a business meeting one time, and I'm in full day program mode. I go out, we meet. I'm trying to get these guys to buy some stuff. I'm with one of the road salesmen. We hand out our business cards. We start the thing, and the guy I'm with, who's pretty stupid anyway, he goes, "You know, Joe's a stand-up comic." And on the way back, I said, "Why did you tell him that?" I go, "You blew everything for me. You know, I'm sitting there with it's whole, but now they think I'm some sort of a fucking clown that walks fucking plumbing supplies, which is the truth. But we're trying to have some sort of a fucking facade up. Get these guys on board." You know, so, yeah, when people find your comic, they treat you like a clown.
Yes.
Here's the deal with my wife's situation with this thing. She's the only person in her company in this position that was invited. The CEO did not want her invited. Her boss's boss, because this is just supposed to be for salespeople, and my wife is a sales engineer. So, like, when they're trying to sell the software, the sales engineers run all the tests, do everything. If something's going wrong, they help the prospective client through it as they're testing it and everything. So a lot of sales wouldn't go through if it wasn't for a sales engineer.
Yeah.
And the sales engineers have a salary and a quota. And this is a big company now. They bought, like, Pitney Bowes. This is, like, a huge company now my wife works for.
Nice.
She was the top. She exceeded the quota by the most or brought in the most money, whatever the hell it was. So she could have gotten a cash amount or gone on this thing to Arizona. Really, we could use the cash. She would have preferred the cash.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
But her boss's boss fought for her to go. And she's the first sales engineer since this ownership or CEO.
Yeah, the boss, and it's all you. And it's like we all know, you got to learn how to work the room. You know,
right?
The boss says you're going, you're fucking going.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going. So I don't have to entertain, but I have to be somewhat personable and likable, and not be like, because
God Almighty, how are you gonna pull this off?
I'm a good actor. But you know, but seriously, I can't sit there like a lump. I have to make a somewhat positive impression.
You better be that good of an actor where you could go up and smack Chris Rock and get an award first.
Just need the opportunity. I'll tell you right now, if Chris Rock was here right now, I'd smack him. I just need the opportunity. But
that's funny.
But yeah, I mean it's a position she's in. She's earned this award, but none of us are in the right headspace. And I'm driving 9 hours round trip. Well, four and a half there, four and a half back. Carucci, this is for Rich, told me the gig was 4 hours away. Unfortunately, he gave me the wrong town. Turns out the gig was 6 hours away, so it would have been 12 hours, no hotel. I'm like, he had another gig, so he swapped me out. So I'm doing the other gig, which is 4.5 hours. I'm like, dude, you gave me the wrong town. It's like,
and the 4.5 hours, and it's a turnaround?
Yeah.
To get a room.
Yeah. Yeah. So nine hours of driving. And to get back.
Well, that's like when Panetti and I used to do the room at Saratoga every year. Yeah, that was the same amount of time. Yeah, the whole fucking day.
Yeah, but you weren't flying out to Arizona to make nicey nice to the muckety mucks in a few hours after that. So, okay. So there's that. All right. So I think we will be adopting a new cat.
Yay.
But like everything, especially in my world, this cat has a backstory. Because everything has to.
Of course it does. So, like, I just want to make sure that our negotiations are still in line.
I don't know what the hell that is. All right. But of course there's a backstory, and insanity plays a key portion. I guess nobody's going to answer the phone. I guess nobody, they're just going to let it ring. It's a scammer. Pick it up, click. Whatever. I'm not doing anything. Whatever. Oh, Christ.
Devin will continue in a moment. Who's on the other? What the fuck do you want? Oh, hi, Mom.
Oops, sorry. I'm doing a show. You know what? He's throwing a pillow on top of it.
You want to come over and visit? No, nobody can.
It's nobody. When the calls comes up on caller ID as a town, it's a scam or something. A town never calls you. You're never getting a call from the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville, Florida never cares what Joe Curry's up to. I promise you. When it's a city, it's a scammer. Ugh. So, was it Mom? My mom and dad are very nice. They're giving us more money as a gift and offering us a loan. I don't want to take the gift. I'll pay it back as soon as I sell the house. But it's nice. We have that lifeline. But it's not what I wanted to do. All right, enough of that. The cat. So there's this woman who I guess is a half-ass comic. I don't know her. She's a Facebook friend. This is not the one who brought the cat to my attention. A friend of mine who Joe and I know, who's a lovely female comedian, lovely girl, one of my favorite people in comedy, and very funny, and I've known her a long time, brought this to my – she was posting about this cat because she has the cat right now. But the cat's origin story is – so I guess this woman who's a comic, who's a Facebook friend who I don't know. It doesn't mean I never work with her. I barely know anything.
How much time does the cat have?
Cat's got a solid 5. I'm going to try to stretch it to 8. So twice as much as Pip can do. but like Pip, it's orange. But it's an orange. It's an orange male cat. So this woman, this girl, I guess another person who I know brings it to this woman's attention. So the woman adopts the cat, takes the cat, and in January you see pictures of her with the cat. Loving the cat. What a fabulous cat. Everybody's posting what a wonderful cat. So happy they found each other. What could possibly go wrong? You don't hear much until March. Then March comes around and you see a picture of her hand with a scratch. You know, I was hospitalized by this cat. If anybody asks me about this fucking cat, I'm going to unfriend them. Now again, We're used to reactions like this from orange beings. We're just not used to them from cats. They're usually presidents. That gets this people so upset on Facebook about the color orange, where you're going to get unfriended if you even mention it.
So this cat, that's the problem. We're going to adopt because we don't have enough shit going on.
Well, listen to me. Hold on. First of all, how do you wind up in the hospital from a cat? Here's the thing with cats. There's a couple of options. If a cat scratches you, option A, and in my opinion, the preferred option, remove yourself from the situation. Pull the hammer. Hey, stupid fucking cat. Maybe spritz it with some water. Bad kitty. You know, maybe you do that. Option two, punt the cat. Not my preferred choice. Not what I suggest. But I understand if somebody got scratched, how a cat could wind up going, oh, pigs fly and so do cats. I get it now. I understand how that could possibly happen. Not what I would do. Who the hell tangles with the cat? Wow, that cat's really tenacious. Let me see how much it can scratch me. Who does this? It's like...
Well, what it could be, like, we had a cat, Hattie McCatty, which was the company cat, and my coworker actually took care of him. So I actually brought him home because he got a fight. Nonetheless, Hattie, you would let him scratch your belt, and then he'd stick his fangs in you and try to scratch it because he was playing. Because sometimes if the cat plays rough, the mother will grab them and hold them down.
Yes.
I used to see when we had cats.
They use their teeth to hold you, but they don't press hard. They're playing.
Yeah, but the mother will show them that you can't play too hard. Sometimes it's the feral that loses, is not around the mother. They'll play, but they don't know when to stop it. He used to scratch the shit out of me. I knew he was playing because, as my mother would say, if he wanted to hurt you, he would.
Joe.
He'd get scratched, but he's just playing.
Joe. Didn't mean it. You got scratched by the cat. You didn't wind up in the hospital. What was this cat? Was this cat a mountain lion? I don't understand.
but there's a lot under cat nails, and you can get a bad infection.
Yes, you know why? Because what the kids used to use was some Bactine or peroxide. You put that shit on, okay?
Right away, too. I mean, When Hattie would, play a little rough, I'd go right inside and put this shit on.
All right. So you know what? Maybe you're not meant to have this cat. Fine. So what does she do? I mean, whatever. Not what I would do. I made a commitment to the cat. I'll figure this shit out. Not what I would do. What does she do? She brings it to pet control. She wants the cat put down.
Oh, my God.
Pet control.
Is she in the mob?
Pet control.
She put a contract out on the cat. The cat will not be around anymore. Nothing we can do.
Yeah.
Nothing we can do. Sorry. Nothing we can get a phone call like De Niro did in Goodfellas. Sorry. Nothing we can do.
Don't worry, madam. We have good news. Soon the cat will be swimming with the fishes.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be made, you know. You walk in, there's no litter box, no ball. Uh-oh.
Keep it.
Oh, God. That was brutal.
Take the gun, leave the catnip. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Funny. Don't look back.
So she leaves this at animal. She leaves the cat at animal control. After a couple of days, animal control's like, oh, this is a really sweet cat. This is an adoptable cat. We don't want to put this cat down. And she's like, kill the cat. I want that cat killed.
Jesus.
I want him dead. You understand me? Dead.
Who does this? As Joe said, who puts a mob hit on a cat?
Not a lady, it's a cat. The cat just don't like you, lady. Dead. I want the cat dead.
I don't, because we have pictures from January where everybody's was good. Now, don't even fucking mention the cat or I'm unfriending you, and I want the cat dead. Who is that committed to the execution of a cat? Is it a Ukrainian cat and you're Putin? I don't understand.
The lady's got a fucking screw loose.
Yes.
Yeah, clearly.
So, my friend has it. And I've seen pictures of the cat, and the cat is laying across her husband.
I got to interrupt. Your friend has. So, wait, your friend went to animal control and then brought the cat home?
Yes. Okay. She's like, I don't. My friend, like I said, she's a little batshit, but I love her. She's a sweet girl. And what she has grown.
I can hear you.
No, not you. Because what I'm going to say, you know, is not you. I've seen the growth of her, and this has nothing to do with anything, as a performer so much in the past years. Like, I admire that. Like, I remember her when she was years ago, but I've seen, like, how much work she's put in and how good she's gotten. But she's
I think I know who you're talking about.
You do know who I'm talking about?
I think I know.
Okay. I hope. No, it's not a secret. She's great, but I don't know if she wants her name mentioned. And she's a vegan, if that helps you. She's a vegan.
Oh, okay.
So, but whatever. So she's like, I don't want this cat put to sleep. I'm gonna take the cat. I'm gonna foster the cat. And you know, I've seen pictures and everything. And the cat is like loving her father. Her husband and everything. I'm like, why don't you guys keep the cat? She's like, we don't have enough room for the cat because they have a small place. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'll take the cat, but my first choice is for you to have the cat because the cat is obviously bonding with you, and you and your husband have obviously bonded with this cat. I'll get another cat. You know, I just want this cat to have a good home. And apparently, there's a long list of people who want this cat. So we were gonna go pick up the cat tomorrow to meet because my daughter has to meet the cat first. You know that. You know, my daughter and the cat have to get along, but I don't see why they wouldn't. I don't see why they wouldn't. But my mom brought up a good idea. She goes, a good thing that I need to think about. Has the cat been tested for like feline AIDS and feline leukemia? Because that's very contagious. And then if that's the case, I can't have the cat.
Yeah, I watched it go through with the cats that we had leukemia. Yeah, that's for it's contagious feline leukemia, and we lost about three cats.
Yeah.
So I
hadn't thought about that. So I called my friend and I go, but you know what? If I didn't realize it was animal control, I thought it was at a shelter. I'm like, but you know what? If they have the cat, they're going to get it tested because you can't put the cat in with the general population unless you know what you're dealing with.
Oh, the general population, like it was brought in.
This cat has a backstory. It might have been.
Cat's in Gen Pop.
Well, you know what? Maybe not. I mean, maybe because their original intention was to euthanize the cat,
right.
So maybe there was no testing done.
And there was there was no testing done. So now I gotta get this cat tested before I can bring it here. I can't bring it into my house because I still have my cat Flea here. I can't bring it into the house. So my friend's like, we'll do it. I'm like, okay. Her vet doesn't have an appointment until next week. Her husband, is the only one apparently who can get this cat into the carrier with treats. But he refuses to do this until we actually take the cat because this will traumatize the cat.
I can't even anymore with people.
I know.
What do you think? Oh, you know, the cat is not... You know, the cat... God.
You know what? She's not listening to common sense. We're trying to make sure the cat doesn't have feline leukemia and is okay, and it's going to traumatize the cat. They go to the vet. You got to bring the cat to the vet.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I tell my friend, I go, well, why don't you? She's like, well, he's a big cat. He's 12 pounds. So I guess for a lot of people, that's big. I've had like 16, 20, 30 pound cats, you know, whatever in my day.
Yeah.
My cat now, Flea, she's 6 pounds. So 12 pounds is big. Her cat that my friend had was like Flea size, like six. And I'm like, well, you could just grab it by the scruff and that's how you control it. They don't like it, but that's how you control it and put it in. She's like, well, you know, my hands are too weak for that. And I don't know. I'm like, you're still afraid of this cat.
Too weak for that.
I don't know, Joe. I don't know. But I go, you're still afraid of this cat because of what the other woman said, aren't you? She goes, yeah. I go, okay. Even though this cat's been perfectly sweet, let's understand what we're dealing with. So she's going to have a vet come to the house, or somebody's going to come to the house. And
a vet that makes doctor calls?
They do. They do. Locks
coming in. I understand critters get a little weird getting in the cage. You put a pair of gloves on. The cat sticks his fangs into the gloves. He gets pissed off because he's biting into leather. You laugh at him and call him stupid, throw his ass in the cage and go to the vet.
The husband...
I've been down this road before.
Really?
The husband does not want to traumatize the cat any further.
Well, the cat's going to have therapy, yes?
I think so. This cat's going to need a therapist. No, no, you can't use a cat bed. You need a special cat couch for cats that need therapy. That's what you need.
They make little couches for cats, you know.
So somebody's coming over to the house. Takes 24 hours. The apartment takes 24 hours. And I'm supposed to pick up the cat on Sunday if the cat is negative. But nothing.
Yay!
Nothing now, is easy.
You don't want to traumatize the cat by putting it in a cage. It's going to have a complexion by the time it gets to your house.
Apparently it gets to go in the cage one time. Because after that, the cat holds a grudge. I don't understand.
Our cats have been to the vet a lot. And they come out of the cage and they get a treat and it's forgotten in an hour.
Yeah, listen. The cat is never happy to go in the cat carrier.
No.
But you know what? You're running the show here. You're running the show. You're making the decisions. And this decision is for the benefit of this cat to have hopefully a happy, long, and healthy life. You're not putting it in the carrier and go, quick, get the original owner. Now she can finish him. We're not doing that.
The cat goes in the carrier and goes to the vet. What happens at the vet? It gets a test. It comes back. The cat goes in the carrier and comes to your house. What could happen? A toilet could fall out of the sky and land on it.
Shut up. Shut up. You blow this deal for me. Shut. They don't know about the kitchen. And the
hopefully it's not your sister-in-law riding the thing. You're going to keep everybody happy and look what happens.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
Ixnay on the subflore. I'll never get the cat. Shut up. They don't know about the toilet issues. If you keep on blabbing, I won't get the cat. Listen, Dad, we wanted you to have the cat, but really, no cat can live in this squalor. How can you?
Oh, they manage. Wait, what?
We think we're just going to return the cat to the dumpster where it was originally found. It seems much safer. So, that is why I was That is why I was in no mood for Joe's quite feeble attempt at humor to start the show.
That was like an exorcism.
What? Okay, good.
I can see it still doesn't bother you.
No, it's because you do it every couple of weeks. Because you do it every couple of weeks, and we don't know why.
Hopefully it grows in before the trip, okay? So that's
grows in?
Yeah.
What are you even talking about?
Okay.
Grows in implies that grows in implies that it's short. My hair is long because I haven't gotten a haircut.
It's short now.
Your hair's long? It looks short from here.
No, it's not short at all.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? That's short.
I haven't gotten a haircut in a couple of months. I guarantee you it's longer than it was last week and the week before that. That's how hair works.
That's how hair works.
I mean, it's shorter than Joe's pictures that he posts from the early 80s when Joe had hair. Yes, it's shorter than that. It's shorter than my mullet of 1991. I'll give you that. But compared to last week, it's longer. Compared to last month, it's long. So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
God. I have to explain everything, including how growing works.
Where'd you get that goblet from? It looked like King Henry VIII.
Right? I know. These are awesome. We got these. We've had these since we were married. These were like the wedding that we chose. We just never really used them. But I love these.
Bring me more ale, Wes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This guy gets it. Bring me my popcorn. We're about to take a break.
I need a cup of mead.
Yeah. Why? What? You don't like this, Joe? You don't like this either?
No, I do.
See, that's the thing, Pip. You can't tell with Joe what he likes and he doesn't like because he's nasty either way.
I didn't think he was being nasty. I thought he was complimenting your goblet.
I think he's upset because he probably had a host of shit to rebuttal the thing. But no, I think it's cool. Good.
You didn't say that. You said, what are you, Henry the Eighth? You didn't say, I think that's cool. You said, what are you, Henry the Eighth? I mean,
I'm an asshole, stupid.
I know, but I'm just trying to let you know that I'm not in the mood for your assholery, especially when it's not new versions of it. If you're going to be an asshole, I'm open to that. Just come with some new material. That's all I ask. Nobody
let's, no, make it,
You know, here's what I have in common with gay men. Neither one of us likes a tired asshole. That's what it is. If you're going to be an asshole, put a little pep in your step. Don't give me a tired old material.
Kind of haircut.
a man who hasn't seen hair in 3 decades, except on his back and his ears, is obsessed.
I'm comfortable with it.
No, with what?
With my baldness.
Okay, but yeah. That's fine. But we don't comment on it every week because we don't give a shit. We understand you're trying to be like a less talented Lex Luthor. We understand. Like we understand you're Lex Luthor's retarded cousin. We get it.
The funny thing about it is that you always see these places that with the hair pieces and stuff like that, and guys that get. I mean, how would you think if I had? You know, I got a hairpiece that came on, and not thinking nobody would notice. Hey, Joe. Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing? And not going, what the fuck is that on your head?
Yeah. It's like women. It would be very surprising to have somebody just show up all of a sudden with a hairpiece, and it's like, are we allowed to talk about this? I mean, we would have to.
Here's the difference. I would talk about it. Week one, and then that would be it. I wouldn't trot it out every 3 weeks to try to get.
No, bullshit. I call bullshit on that.
Really?
Because how many times have we heard about the squirt on the leg? How many times?
All right, Pip.
Oh my God,
Pip. I'll make it more relevant. How many times have I talked about your roots showing? Never. Maybe one time. See, I don't bring it up.
No, I know, and it's like...
How many times have we talked about me telling you to go fuck yourself?
I know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, here comes Mr. Nasty.
Well, I mean...
I know I'm the prick, really.
But the thing on the leg, first of all, it's funny and timeless. It's such a unique story. But it's something he did. It's not an appearance. It was a terrible act of behavior. It wasn't appearance.
No, I get that, but I'm just saying that you're saying that, oh, he brought it up more than once, and it's like, you bring up a lot of stuff more than once, if that's the point.
Oh, by the way, Pip, you disappeared. We're not going to go through your roots.
I know.
She took her roots and went home.
I did. No, my cable box just, like, unplugged itself. Holy shit.
Cable. Even cable's had enough of your shit. Well, don't worry. If you need a contact in India, I have a few. All right. God bless you. All right. Let's take a break because this is long overdue. On the break, we got new music from Atmeg with Refuge and Herbie Frame with Seen It Coming. And you can learn more about both those artists at Deuce Music.